Welcome one and all once again to Duel World in episode 22, the not-so-eventful birthday episode. Joining me this week, we have Daniel.
As usual.
Chad. This is when you say something, Chad.
What up, internet?
And Jason.
I just said something, motherfucker.
Yeah, after I told you to say something. So, I mean, I think...
No, I said something before that. I said, what up, internet?
But you said that after I said say something. Anyhow.
Asshole.
Are you done? Okay, good. I think we have a pretty packed show this week. There's been a lot of news. I mean, I guess not news, but we had a lot of trailers released this week, which is always great. And we had some release dates and other stuff announced. But before we get to that, let's see what everybody's been playing. And we'll start off with Jason, since he's been dying to brag about his newest game.
So I picked up Bulletstorm, except I didn't buy it because I'm pretty poor. But Blockbuster happened to have it the day it came out. And I have literally nothing bad to say about that game. It's just everything about it is good. Top to bottom. It's just fun, it's fresh, it's well polished, it's well written, it's gorgeous. Like, take your pick of like what thing you want to criticize, and it's like so far fantastic.
Even I have to admit that like the one flaw that I picked out, because I have it, I pre-ordered it, the Epic Edition, and I love it. And
Just a quick tangent. How do you feel about that whole announcement then? That
DLC?
The Gears of War 3 beta.
I don't know. Well, it's just a beta as far as I'm concerned. I mean.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, because I don't know what else came into Epic Edition, but I know part of it was the Gears of War 3 beta.
Well, I saw Rod Ferguson tweeted earlier this week that the Bulletstorm people would be getting access within like a week or two. Like, it's already in cert for them.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're going to get early access, but everybody's going to end up getting, well, not everybody, but it's going to be open to Xbox Live Gold members sometime in, I think, April 5th, they said.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That I get it that early, that's pretty neat. I'm glad I bought the Epic Edition now.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised by that too.
Yeah, so I love it. And there's only one flaw that I have with it, and it wasn't a flaw until earlier today. And so, I don't know how far you've gotten, Jason, but...
I'm in Act 5.
Alright, so when you get to Act 7, which is the last act of the game gets... the difficulty spikes. It goes way up. And I never really had a problem with it, because it was just a little more challenging for me, but... the one echo, which is like, the echoes are like a time trial score attack mode, and it takes parts of the campaigns out and sort of separates them so you can just see how many skill points you can get in that little section. The echo that is set in Act 7, Chapter 2, which is the last level, it is so frustrating because of this difficulty spike, it's not even funny. That's the only flaw I have with the game. Other than that, I love it.
Okay. So, you two are huge fans of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I tweeted earlier this week about, you know, what games people would think. I mean, out of the short 2 months we've had so far, what's your benchmark for Game of the Year here on out? And for me, absolutely Bulletstorm. I think it'll be beaten, but right now... As the games I've played, it's definitely setting the bar.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I actually considered blowing you guys off earlier today to just go buy it, but instead I said no. I'll wait until after the podcast and then I'll go buy it. So,
I would have thrown you folks off and bought it and then come back and if there was time. But, I mean, just to see where this bar is right now, what other games have you played in 2011?
That came out in 2011. Not very none.
So, I mean, it's kind of like said it's the bar no matter what, because there's really nothing above it or beneath it at the moment.
Well, I didn't even say that. It was Jason that said it. So
I know. I was asking Jason what other games he played this year. I mean,
yeah, but
you know,
I don't have to play a bunch of other games first.
I know. I'm not saying
a really good game. You know.
I'm not saying
that. I mean, you bring up a good point, but still, I'm just saying it's really good, and everyone should at least go play the demo.
I played the demo. It wasn't for me. I may get it when it's like $30 or something like that.
I have to admit,
I feel like a bunch of my friends were, you know, asking me about it, and they're like, oh, you know, is it fun? It seems like it's just a really arcadey shooter, and I'm like, no, you guys should play this because you guys really like story-based games, and this game has a really good story. Like, it's really original. It has that arcadey aspect to it, but it's not arcadey by any means. It does a really good, the skill shot system does a really good job of making it more fun and encouraging you to kill people in different ways.
I will say this, the demo, I would argue that the demo for the Bulletstorm isn't very good because it rushes you, because it's echoes. The campaign on its own is a lot better because you can sit there and you can think, alright, so I've got these spikes over here, this electric thing over here, and I can fling one into the spikes and I can maybe do a slide kick into the other guy. So you get, when you actually have time to think about maybe how you're going to change things up, it's a lot better. And also, the NPCs that are with you, they actually talk a hell of a lot more in the campaign. And that's one of the things that makes Bulletstorm, is the dialogue and the writing. It's really immature, but it's really funny at the same time.
Yeah, it's, even though it's a lot of toilet humor, it's really well done.
Okay.
Like, it's well written. It's genuinely funny. It's not just like, you know, like middle schoolers running around being like, haha, penis. It's like, it's a little more intelligent.
Some of the dialogue seemed like it was kind of like that.
Some of the dialogue is like that, but it's not all.
Yeah, but
a lot of it is actually funny, proper funny, and sometimes it's quite clever. And it's not all just bad toilet humor. There is some in there. And I have to admit, at one point in the beginning, when the main character makes that your mum joke, I just sat down and I was like, really? other than that, I thought the writing was pretty good.
Okay, I know it doesn't have a competitive online mode, but it does have a co-op, right?
Yeah, it has, it's like horde mode, but instead of saying you've got 50 enemies and you need to survive, what you need to do is you get a point goal and you need to reach it. And it can be really good, but most of the time, to get to this goal, you need to complete challenges. And so what it will happen is it'll pick out one guy and it'll say, you need to get a team, say you get, like, there's a skill shot where you knock someone off the edge of a cliff, and it's called a vertigo. And it'll pick out one guy and say, you need to get a team vertigo, which means that you need to, the ultimate goal is to get that skill shot, but you need to work together as a team to get it. So maybe it will mean I use the leash to pull him over to the cliff, and then then another guy comes up and kicks him off of it. So what happens a lot is people will just treat that enemy as just a normal enemy and just say, oh, there's spikes over there, I'm just going to kick him into it. Which a lot of the time means you fail the wave and you need to start it again. That's the only annoying thing about the co-op multiplayer. Otherwise,
so you need to fit with people who you can actually communicate with.
Yeah. Okay. Although you may get lucky, like I did the other night, and I got three people that just randoms, and you could tell that they really knew what they were doing because we passed most waves first time. So.
Okay. So, Chad, what have you been playing?
StarCraft 2.
Yeah, of course. That goes without saying, really. Not as much as I have been recently, though. I've been cutting back, and I feel very good about that.
That's good to hear. So, are you 10 hours a day?
Hey, fuck you, sir.
he doesn't say no.
I told you I would never lie to you, so I'm just gonna ignore the question. No, you said you've been playing what you consider to be a contender for Game of the Year, and I've also been doing that. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is kind of amazing. It's not, just given the time that I've spent with it, it's not nearly as technical as something like Street Fighter 4.
It was never intended to be.
No, and that's the thing.
I think that's the beauty of the series.
Yeah, it is. It's like, I picked it up last weekend or whatever, and I just left my door open while I was playing, and people would like come in and mess around. And the thing I like about it a lot better than Street Fighter is, like, there's potential for a really huge skill gap, and I feel like one good thing about Marvel vs. Capcom is that, like, if you want to get really good at it, you have to spend a lot of time with it, which means if no one spends a lot of time with it, and you're all equally terrible, it's just really fun. Like, you just hit buttons, and cool stuff happens, and you figure out the systems enough to be able to do some cool stuff, and then it's just, like, a great night of drinking and playing Marvel vs. Capcom. It's, like, it's really kind of awesome.
I wish I was playing that game, too. That was one of the ones I was looking forward to most at the beginning of this year, but I'm going to have to wait for a price shot.
Yeah, I think finding games is always a tough sell at $60, but I will pick up Marvel vs. Capcom 3 at some point. I've always loved the franchise, and yeah. I think it's one of those games where it's kind of it feeds your ADHD, because you press random buttons usually, and you get some big, spectacular move, and you don't necessarily always have to know what you did, just that the game rewards you for doing something, and it always makes it look nice.
Especially with the simple mode now.
Yeah. I think they used the Tatsunoko versus Capcom system where instead of it's like, high kick, low kick, high punch, low punch.
Yeah, there's no differentiation between kick and punch. It's just
it's just high, low, medium, heavy. Right? Yeah.
And launch.
Okay. Yeah. Who are your characters?
It's a lot simpler.
Who are your characters? Do you not have
right
any?
Now, I'm rolling with Dante. I'm definitely Dante's like a core member of my crew because no one else in the building seems to be able to play him except for me, which I don't understand. It's really funny actually because all of us have like a different team, and we play random a lot because we just always select random teams usually, and so it'll be like I'll have one character like say Sentinel or something. And my friend will be like, oh, you have Sentinel, you're going to kick ass. And it's like, no, because you're good with Sentinel, but I fucking suck with him. So it's like, everyone's good with different characters, and it's kind of weird.
It's kind of like Smash
Bros. I usually use Dante, X-23, who is from, like, the Weapon X program from X-Men. And then Amaterasu, actually. They're all, like, really quick, and I like quick characters.
Yes. That's good to hear. Are there any characters other than a Sentinel that you just don't have a control over or you don't like using?
Dr. Doom can fuck off and die and then die again, as far as I'm concerned.
I like to play Marvel vs. Capcom 2. I mean, my personal favorite, and this is probably just because you could spam projectiles all day, were like Iron Man and War Machine. Because
they're super cheap. And Cable.
That still happens. Iron Man has one move where he can literally just do it over and over and over, and I haven't figured out a way to beat it yet.
And I don't think you can beat it. The games are always kind of broken in that regard. It happens, but I enjoy it. You play with friends, and you know, people kind of set up their own rules. Online may be a different story. So yeah. Anything else?
Nope, not really.
I played a lot of Oblivion this week. It was spring break, so I downloaded Oblivion and then just played so much.
Instead of early spring break. Warm. He's in Canada. They don't get spring, so it's just it's just when the snow slowed down.
Yeah. Exams also start in like a month, so it wouldn't make sense to leave it any later.
Speaking of snow, I had some in my car yesterday, and I'm in San Diego. It was just a very bizarre moment.
Wow.
In Britain, we don't know what snow is, only what rain is. That's winter.
Okay, as for me, I haven't really been playing anything recently, but I did download the demo for Dragon Age 2. I haven't played the original Dragon Age Origins, so I don't know what they changed, but it feels really kind of like a dumbed down, but it feels kind of like a simple beat-em-up.
Keep going.
I was going to say, it reminds me a bit of the X-Men Legends and Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, where you kind of have an attack, and then you can use the trigger buttons to activate like, special powers and stuff that have a certain recharge time. But, I mean, it seems fun. It's just not something I don't think I'd pick up, especially since the demo was like battle, cutscene, dialogue choice, battle, cutscene, over and over again.
I have to admit, that's exactly how I felt.
Yeah, well, I had the opposite experience of the demo. I think it completely justified my pre-order, because, I don't know, I haven't played Origins either, but I've watched people play a decent amount, and I didn't like, first of all, it's a very ugly game, and second of all, the way the combat system works was really passive almost, where, you know, you queue up an attack, and you were talking about how the special attacks have a recharge time, but even your normal attacks would have a recharge time, and I like that in Dragon Age 2, at least on 360, because I've heard the PC's version's different, but it's more like a hack and slash. Like, when you press A, your character swings the sword, which is a lot more what I was looking for, and it looks a lot better. And, I mean, it's hard to get a true taste of the story. You have a 60-hour game in, like, an hour, but...
Yeah, RPGs are tough to demo in... Well, they're tough to demo in general. I think that's why they kind of speed up the demo, to give you a feeling at the beginning where you kind of get, like, a super-powered character. And then you kind of have that bit of the demo where you start off from scratch with a character.
Yeah, and I think... I don't know, I can definitely see myself playing that game for a long time.
I mean, it's not a bad game. It's just not something... I mean, I don't know what I was expecting from it.
It's definitely a very specific taste, but it's like I haven't played a game, like a hack-and-slash kind of game, since, like, probably Gauntlet Dark Legacy. And it's more intelligent than just a normal hack-and-slash. That's just kind of how the combat works. And then you have all the special moves and... You know, you can switch characters, and you have different classes, and I'm expecting a really good story, considering it's coming out from BioWare, so we'll see.
I mean, like I said, it reminds me a lot of the X-Men Legends and Marvel Ultimate Alliance games, which I love. But, you know, those also had the benefits of having superheroes, so that's always an easy sell for me. Well, we shall see. I mean, it's not like March is jam-packed with releases for me, so I may pick it up if I'm bored enough. But, you know, Pokemon's also out next weekend, so there's that. Okay, so I think that's it for what we've been playing. So, in the news... I mean, we might as well start with Pokemon, since that's what... Nintendo announced a new Pokemon Black and White DSi bundle to hit the same time as Pokemon Black and White in the States.
Evidently, their last-ditch attempt to sell DSIs while they can.
Yeah, I don't really know who's going to buy a DS at this point.
A lot of people.
I know a lot of people that... Well, I don't know. I know a lot of people that know about the 3DS. So, even the people that don't normally catch up with gaming news. So, you know.
But think of it this way. There obviously are a lot of people that don't know about the 3DS. And,
I don't know if that's...
Well, not in you know, our circles, but, you know, general... Like, I'm thinking more like the, you know, traditional soccer mom that wants to buy the new Pokemon game for her kids. And,
yeah, but at that point, you would assume that the kid would have a DS, because this is, what, the third generation of Pokemon games on the DS?
Yeah, but, I mean, not everyone does. And, you know, we've seen this with most consoles... that even if it's a completely dead console like the GameCube was when the Wii comes out, once the new one comes out, the old one becomes attractive for some people just because of the price. And just because it's cheaper, there's a huge catalog of cheap games. That's enough for them.
They don't
have,
I mean,
you know, not everyone has to be playing like the next new thing like us. Like, I think this will sell a lot.
Right, the DS sells a lot in general. But I actually think the consoles itself, the handhelds itself, actually looks nice since they have like the imprints of the two legendary Pokemon from each of the games on it. And I mean, it's nice, and it's a, you know, I know there's people who collect DSs and all the special editions and stuff like that. I'm sure those people are gonna pick it up. I just, you know, don't see many new customers coming, but who knows? March will be interesting for the 3DS. I mean, the 3DS and DS family. And while we have to wait until the end of March to get the 3DS, it launched this past weekend, or I guess this weekend in Japan. And according to some sales figures, first day sales are something like 400,000.
Yeah, I'm reading a headline right now. It says, from Nikkei, all 400,000 Japanese 3DS units sold out. More on the way.
Jesus.
Wow.
I can't say I'm surprised, though, because the Japanese eat anything Nintendo up, so.
And well, anything
portable,
too. I mean, that's
not true. Yeah. I have to say portable, but yeah, I mean, we've all seen what happened with the GameCube and N64, so. Nintendo isn't in fact, recently they have been, but I, you know, it's not surprising that it sold well. It's if they can keep the momentum going, which, I mean, I don't think anybody here believes the 3DS will sell as well as the DS, because I think, even though I don't think it's as big of a competitor as people say, I do think that, you know, the mobile scene is gonna type of take away from some of those impulse buys people have with, handheld consoles.
Yeah, I do know a few people that are like, I have an iPhone that I play games on, I don't need a 3DS. So,
yeah.
It'd be interesting.
I mean, you say that until Nintendo or somebody comes out with this game, that can't be done. And that's usually how it works with them. I mean, that was Nintendogs and Brain Age on the DS, and that's Wii Sports on the Wii and stuff like that. You know, if the right software is there, they're gonna, you know, it's gonna break through to people.
For a lot of people, yeah. I think the problem with portable games in general, like for me personally, I won't get one or an NGP because I have the cheap on-the-go, like waste time on the bus games on my iPhone. And if I want something deeper, I have my Xbox and I'm going to have a PC shortly. So, you know, it doesn't, for me, it doesn't fit in, you know, I don't have time for it, and I don't have money for it, and it doesn't matter what games come out for it, really. Because that's what I experienced in my DS and PSP. You know, I buy all these good games, I play them for like a week, and then I want my HD graphics and 5.1 sound back.
See, I think there are games that are suited for handhelds, and while you are correct, that you know, the phone, iPhone and Android devices are great for pick up and play. You know, I'm in the go for 10 minutes, I need to waste time. I think sometimes when you want like a longer experience that's not necessarily a console game, a handheld game has to walk that weird line now where I think something like Pokemon has always suited the handheld scene because you can play for 10 minutes or you can play for an hour and you get the same type of, you know, experience, whereas something like Dragon Age wouldn't work on a handheld because you need to put in time investment. You can't play in 5-minute chunks.
Right.
And if Nintendo finds a game, and I don't think it's going to be necessary to be something they had before, like Nintendogs or Pilot Wings or Mario or something, but if they do find something, I think they will have an audience. I don't know if anybody has been following it, but I didn't even know about the AR games, and some of those actually seem pretty cool.
I played an AR game, and they are pretty neat, what they can do.
Yeah. Not even some of the games, but just some of the features that are built into this console.
The only problem with the AR games is they don't really fit in with the handheldness of the console itself. Because you need to have this card, you need to have the card sitting on a flat surface and it has to be a certain distance away from the console for it to work.
Well, I think it's something you can play around with at home and stuff like that.
Let's be real. The 3DS is a questionable portable system when it's a 3 to 5 hour battery life.
That's true, but on the same hand, I mean, I guess it depends. Like, I don't know many people who would use it 5 hours consecutively. stuff like that. And I assume this isn't, you know, counted battery life if it's turned off on standby. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that NGP will also suffer from that problem of having a short battery life, and it is what it is. I mean, it's not, phones have much better ones either. I think my phone lasts about 8 to 10 hours.
Really? That's enough for a cross-country flight. If you want to, you know, play games during that flight, spend the time. You can't really do that with a 3DS, which was one of the criticisms when the PSP first came out, that you couldn't do that.
Yeah.
And we saw that.
I think the PSP had other problems besides the battery.
Yeah, I know. I'm being a little facetious, but...
Here's something that surprised... Well, actually, it didn't surprise me. So, you know, Nintendo's had a lot of trouble with these R4 cards. Then 3DS is supposed to have software built into it to not... So it doesn't work with them at all, and already they work. People have already managed to make them so the R4 cards work.
Yeah, but as far... They only work for DS games right now.
Well, there are... Yeah, because there's no real point. It's going to take them some time to actually start to pirate the 3DS games anyway.
Didn't they get a legal injunction to make it illegal to sell R4s now?
Well, they did, but I mean, that's been a while. It still doesn't stop anything.
My point. A legal thing would be... Like, to even sell them would stop, like, a good chunk of it, at least.
It's been illegal for, like, I think they did this in, like, 2009 or so.
Yeah.
Nintendo's very heavy on piracy. I mean, they're not as bad as Sony, it seems. You know, going into people's houses and stuff like that. But, yeah, they cracked down on it. My point is, I just don't see the point of... Because the DS is hackable. I mean, you can download DS games right now. I don't know why anybody would buy a 3DS to play hacked DS games at the moment. Until the 3DS itself is hacked, I don't see it as a problem for Nintendo.
It's only a matter of time, though.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Most consoles in the last 15 years have been hacked. Outside of maybe the N64, and I would say the GameCube, but you can actually emulate GameCube games on the computer. You just can't do it on the GameCube.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's not... I mean,
but it's staggering how quick people work nowadays to get this stuff.
Well, people do, you know, they want to do it.
Yeah.
So, moving on. Gears of War 3 release date of September 20th, 2011, which pretty much puts it during the Halo week now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, that's the Halo slot.
Which also means that Microsoft has no big title for November at the moment.
Call of Duty. Let's be honest.
I have to admit, Microsoft so badly want Call of Duty to be exclusive. It's so obvious.
But they don't even need it. They sell so many more copies with it. You know, they pay for all the marketing. I feel like most people play it on 360. It's one of those brands that's associated with 360.
Yes. It sells like a 2-to-1 ratio compared to the PS3, and we won't even compare it to like the PC or Wii versions. So that's not an issue. I just think that... it's always been this mentality that your big holiday title should usually be something that's exclusive to your console.
September is still in the fall window. That way they get a good 2 months on Call of Duty. And people will still be buying it in November, December.
It's a September title, but usually, well, traditionally, that's how it worked. Was they would have like Halo 3, Halo ODST, and Halo Reach were all September games, and then I think Halo 3 had Modern Warfare, the first one. And then I think Halo ODST had
World of War.
There's always a Call of Duty game, but they had other games in addition to Halo. Halo would always kind of be like the jump start, you know, like get the momentum going. And then October was Fable and then stuff like that, and then they'd have a big November title.
We still don't know what they're doing.
They haven't revealed
all their games for this year.
Yeah, that's why everybody's assuming that this means that we'll have the Halo CE remake in November. as their big holiday title. Yeah, I mean, then again, it could also be the fact that November's pretty jam-packed, not just with Modern Warfare, but you also have Mass Effect 3.
Skyrim.
Skyrim. Uncharted, though technically that's not a Xbox, but yeah, it's jam-packed with titles. So maybe
that's
it's
becoming less and less financially prudent to release the game in November, which is why people, you know, slip games into the next quarter, but Gears of War 3 would have been ready for this April. So there's no reason to not release it at the beginning of the fall rush.
Well, Gears of War, I think Microsoft was just trying to fit, I think it was delayed to fit it into a position where they had no title after Gears of War, really.
No, that's what I'm saying, though, is that they pushed it, like, it could have shipped in April, it would have been ready. Yeah. They pushed it back for purely strategic reasons, and
except
the September slot is the most
empty for them.
Huh?
It seems most of the year empty for them. I mean, I don't know. What do they have in, like, April, May, June, and July?
Well, they're trying to make it out so people... They're trying to get people to buy Homefront on 360. I think that comes out in May, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of third-party support. I guarantee they'll keep pushing arcade stuff. They'll have another week-long promotion or two.
Oh,
and,
yeah, they,
you know, once you get
the,
into June, July, nobody's ever had games at that time.
That's not necessarily true, but...
Well, okay, very... Very rarely do people release a quality game in that period.
Because, I mean, June was when Metal Gear Solid 4 and Peace Walker came out, if my memory serves me correct.
Yep.
But, yeah. moving on.
I'm
going to
be playing L.A. Noire by then, so.
Yes. And, you know, there's Duke Nukem.
I'm still pissed at Rockstar for that. I didn't tell... Rockstar have announced... They announced a release date for L.A. Noire, and it's on the same day as Red Faction Guerrilla, and I want both games, and I'm annoyed at that.
Well, there goes Red Faction Guerrilla.
Armageddon.
No, I would probably get Red Faction Armageddon rather than L.A. Noire. I know I'm going to get murdered now. I would probably get Red Faction over L.A. Noire.
No, I mean, they're two completely different games.
But yeah, you know, that's limited. I mean, we saw what happened with, like, Red Dead Redemption and all those racing games last year.
And Alan Wake. Poor Alan Wake.
I think Alan Wake was a different situation, though. I mean, it was, but that came out, like, what, 2-3 weeks before Red Dead Redemption?
No, it came out the exact same day as Red Dead Redemption.
No, it came out the week of.
Oh, week of, okay. Same week.
Okay, I could have swore Alan Wake was, like, May 3rd or something, and Red Dead was May. Okay.
No, it was
I know Red Dead came out the same week as Mario Galaxy 2.
And Alan Wake. So now you can see all the, you know, new IP, not exactly a great place
Red
to
Dead
launch.
Was technically a new IP.
Yeah,
it's
okay. But they had the sheer amount of marketing they had for that game.
Yeah, they had Rockstar behind them.
Yeah, the Rockstar.
Also, it says Rockstar on it.
Yeah.
I'm always kind of curious how important studios are to a game's success.
I think and more. And Rockstar is doing a really smart thing by putting their name on the box of their games now, where it says Rockstar Games Presents. So everyone
they're
branding
it. It works for
Rockstar.
Some games, but I don't think it's the same way like when people say, like, you know, like Warren Spector did Epic Mickey or something. Like, I don't think people associate that with anything important. The average fan.
Why did you see Inception?
Yeah.
Because Christopher Nolan was directing it.
No, but that's different. Movies work differently in that.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That's what games are evolving to.
I don't think.
And if they're not, then they should be. Where the people buy games. Like some of us are already to that point. Like, I pretty much pre-ordered Dragon Age 2 strictly because it was a BioWare game, and I knew, you know, I'm familiar with the quality that they produce.
I have to admit,
I obviously see these games independently, but, you know, you kind of make some assumptions.
I have to admit, I'm very guilty. I will buy anything made by Bungie, anything made by Epic, anything made by Rockstar, anything made by Volition.
There you go.
But even still, I think that's different than saying that you'd buy, that's different than seeing a Christopher
Nolan. I'm that way with Atlas.
Isn't Atlas a publishing company? Do they actually make many games?
They re-released the same game in
the
like
Persona, so that's all that matters. And Catherine.
Yeah, they made Catherine and Persona. That's all Chad cares about.
Fair enough. moving on then. We Dare. I don't know how many of you have seen this trailer, but I'm almost certain it's hard to miss. It's the new minigame creation from Ubisoft that looks like it's an interesting game. We'll put it that way. Most of the game takes place outside of the game and deals with your real world animations or motions, including your controllers. That includes kissing them and putting them in your pants and having people spank you. And apparently,
that's
strip
the impression we get from the trailer anyway.
I mean, I'm a huge Wii fan, but I have no idea how that controller sends in all that motion. But the game.
And plus enabled.
I assume the game's gonna be like Just Dance and that people don't care what it's actually replicating as long as they kind of believe that what they're doing has some effect on what's happening on the screen and having fun with it.
It'd be interesting.
I don't
to
think
see.
That they care at all about what's happening on the screen.
I think
what happens
would,
on the screen is pretty inconsequential.
I think people would care about what happened on the screen. I don't think they would care like, if they got a high score if they won, but I think that, you know, it gives them a reason to do certain activities.
I have to admit, there was a complete lack of screen time on the trailer. It was just concentrated on what the people holding
yeah,
the,
I don't know
well,
what the game itself holding looks
the controllers.
Like.
The game itself looks like some type of mini-game creation with a nice theme. like, you had that person who was, like, going through the rings. And I think that's the only you can't remember, because that's when he was spanking the girl's ass.
And it's interesting they don't bring it to America either. Probably, actually, no, it's not, because they probably know that they will get shot down by Fox News and all these parental groups about it. Because America's got a long history of being a little over insensitive about these things.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, and it varies from country to country. Like, I think we're more accepting of violence than other countries, but we're more prudish when it comes to sex.
Yeah.
Or I think like Japan kind of shies away from violence, but they more embrace sex. So, you know, it, which is why stuff like No More Heroes and, you know, like even first-person shooters don't do well in Japan is because they don't care for blood and gore and stuff like that. A lot of people had issues with We Dare when it was announced or shown. It kind of looks cheesy and skanky. But I actually applaud Ubisoft for trying something different. And this is kind of different
yeah,
in a small way.
You weren't saying that when they announced that battle tag thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's stupid.
The thing about that is if you look on the Ubisoft website, if you actually type in battle tag into the search box, there is no mention of it. It's just disappeared off the face of the earth.
I was going to make a comparison to that. The difference between that is that there's a real-world component to We Dare. There is, as far as I know, BattleTech keeps score. You don't need a computer to do that. So, that's where the difference is. Like, if it was, like, if you got to run around and it had, like, some type of real-world placements, and it would, like, pop up objects you can hide behind based on what your position on the screen, that would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Here it's just playing the laser tag, and the squad being kept on your computer at home. So, yeah, that's the difference between We Dare and Battle Tag, which I hope they don't roll out again at E3.
Be interesting to see more than that, more of We Dare at E3. That'd be something to see.
I doubt we're going to see that E3 if it's not coming out to the States. That would just be a waste of time.
GDC then.
I don't think we see that GDC. I really don't think this is the type of game you do. I don't know where you would have this game shown.
You can have your own booth, and you can have you know, people go in, teams of four go in.
Listen, booth babes, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Think about it.
I think this would be an odd game to live demo on stage. I think a lot of the game and press would be really uncomfortable watching it. Not to say anything about the game in press, but I think people in general would be uncomfortable watching people make out on stage. Or pretend make out with their controllers. On the other side, we actually got new gameplay footage from Skyrim and Battlefield. Let's hit up Battlefield first, since that was like a 30-second teaser.
It has guns in it, and they fire the guns. And that's all I saw, and I was like, oh, okay.
And it looks very pretty.
It's totally a Battlefield game.
And this is out November as well?
Or do they I don't think they've set a release date. Maybe fall, but that would be as specific as they've gotten.
Okay. And they also announced, I believe, DLC for day one.
Yeah, this is... See, my point, EA is ruining the industry. Seriously.
Well,
everything.
This is different, though.
Everything
this isn't
with
paid,
EA
this is
packaged
DLC.
This is what?
It's packaged
this
DLC
is one of those,
limited
edition. Yeah, it's the same thing they've been doing, where they have a first... All the first-run prints are a limited edition that come with extra stuff. Which is what the DLC is.
If it's first-run print, then that's fine. I'm fine with that. But if you... If EA actually announce day one DLC, which you have to pay for regardless, I am going to kill someone because...
Yeah, I don't have an issue with day one DLC. I would have an issue if they announced it like 6 months in advance, because that just literally means you have content that you're holding back so you can have it out there for people to download. Like, if it's like 2 months or a month away and you're like, you know, we won't probably have this done in time, that's different.
Yeah, I think they should, I don't know why they bother doing that. They should just put it with like a pamphlet in the manual, because if it's ready for a day one announcement, why not let everyone that bought it at least know?
Because it's just, and I understand why, but it's kind of annoying with everybody trying to combat used game sales by finding some way to get people to buy games new. I mean, really, instead of like charging $10 to have people access online, just knock down your games $10. Reward
Here's
the
thing.
People.
But then
the
used games will go down $10.
Yeah, they
Rockstar,
will go down, but
then that's
I'm
going
to use the example Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption did well, and Rockstar didn't have to hold his multiplayer hostage.
No, that they had a... There was a pamphlet in Red Dead Redemption for the DLC, so...
No, I'm talking about they didn't have to do... They didn't have to do this online pass stuff or anything.
Oh, that's because nobody cared about the multiplayer.
Yeah, but even...
I enjoyed it more than the single-player campaign, but that's another story.
As far as I'm concerned, if you make good games, you won't have to worry about the used sales, because people will buy them new.
Well, I don't necessarily think that's true.
I think Sony would beg to differ.
I mean, I understand why they want to combat used games, but at some point, if you make your game interesting enough, it will sell to enough people at first that it should upset anybody... who buys it used. People are going to buy used games anyhow. It's always cheaper. And, you know, especially with GameStop, who sometimes run promotions, you know, buy two, get one free, 25% off games and stuff like that. It's just more convenient for the consumer. But if you have a good enough product, you don't need any tricks and bells and whistles to get people to buy it new. They will buy it new. And it's the same reason that Nintendo can get away with selling their games $50 three, 4 years after the release. It's not a good business practice, but it's a practice that works for them. And, you know, again, it goes back to that discussion about price and value to the consumer. Finally, we have this girl, Troya. Thoughts on that?
I was never a fan of The Elder Scrolls 4, but Skyrim looks good.
Okay. I drooled.
Skyrim looks good.
It looked sexy as hell, I'm not going to lie. I can't wait for this game. Might be my most anticipated game of the year, maybe?
Huh. Doesn't seem like a Chad game.
It would be mine if it wasn't for Mass Effect 3 coming out this year.
I don't even think it's chase on my top 5, but that's me. Any other thoughts other than it looks pretty? Pretty.
Not really.
I mean, there's not that much that we know. I mean, it looks like a prettier Oblivion set in the mountains with dragons.
Which, you know what? That's all I need. All of those things you just said, give those to me, and I am stoked.
I completely agree.
Fair enough. So I guess we should finish. I know Jason has read. Has anybody else been reading their hands-on impressions of Arkham City?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess the game was shown to the first time to the press this past week. And there's apparently supposed to be some type of announcement during GDC this week. I'm hoping some actual first gameplay footage. But yeah, it sounds like it's Arkham Asylum with more. It has a bigger city, of course, but the city's broken up into zones, which I guess will replace like the buildings and stuff they had in the first one. You start off, I think, with most of your equipment from the first game in tow.
I like that.
Yeah, and that's always kind of cool. The only problem, though, is like how much, you know, like does he upgrade it or does, is he like that? Because, I mean, part of the charm of the first one was like it's Metroid-esque gameplay where you got new equipment and so you'd go back to other areas you couldn't access before and see what was behind it or if you can access more.
But that's why I like it because they're, you know, they're kind of challenging themselves to come up with that again without cheating the way Metroid does and being like, oh, here's all your stuff you had. Oh, actually, no, you have to get it all again.
Yeah. Some of it is kind of... Like, I never knew what happened to her stuff during the Metroid Prime games. Like, she never got the same powers again, but that's another discussion. But yeah, I assume he'll get other stuff, and maybe... I don't think there was any mention of using the Batmobile and stuff like that, but it sounds like your cape has more capabilities, or is it able to...
It has more what? It has more what? Capabilities?
Oh, that was not intended as a pun.
That's pretty good.
I know, right?
I'm excited for Calendar Man.
Okay, my bad.
Jeez, Earl. But,
I'm sorry, I forget my phone's on sometimes.
If you care to share with the class?
No, I wouldn't. But yes, Batman. Awesome game. Obviously my most anticipated title of the year. Should have come as a surprise to no one.
Wait, you're a Batman fan? I never knew this.
I know, it comes as a surprise to a lot of people. They don't see it coming, like, how is that possible? And I'm like, you know, just Batman being Batman. What else is there? I don't think there's anything else really that's been announced this week that's important, or I'm just missing it. So I guess we can finish up on GDC. What do you... I mean, GDC's never really been a place for a huge announcement. But... I mean, I assume Nintendo has to have something on Zelda there.
Why?
Iwata's given a keynote on Wednesday.
I don't know. Nintendo especially, they tend to save their stuff for E3.
Well, no, they've done GDC before. GDC is where they announced Phantom Hourglass or Spirit Tracks. GDC, yeah. Traditionally, I think that's where they kind of done the Zelda thing. And it's not like...
I think that we're more likely to see some, like, 3DS stuff.
I would say that too. I mean, I'm not saying that there's still stuff to be done with the 3DS, but I mean they've done an entire day press conference event for that thing. They've had two or three of those. They had that whole press conference thing in Japan, then they did the Amsterdam New York thing, and then they've had the tours in Europe and stuff. And I'm assuming that. So I don't think they need any type of information. I'm not going to say that there won't be 3DS stuff there. I just don't see that being the focal point. Especially being that really the Wii needs some type of momentum boost at this point. It's been...
But if they show Zelda, then what's the excitement at E3?
Well, that's the thing, is like you don't... Like Zelda wouldn't... I don't think Zelda would be exciting at E3. It's been announced. It's been shown already. Traditionally, Nintendo... You don't know what Nintendo shows at E3 until they show up at E3. I mean, going into E3, actually, we didn't know about Donkey Kong or Kirby or GoldenEye. And stuff like that. And the year before that, we didn't know about Galaxy and New Super Mario Bros. 3.
About all of those going into it, but...
Well, you know, not all of us went to E3, Chad.
I want to go to E3.
Well, you can go with Chad, since he's so popular. Actually, are you going again this year?
Probably not. I'm, like, pseudo-retired.
Oh, after 1 year.
Yeah. Shit happens.
Do you even write for Nintendo Girl anymore?
No.
Ten Gal.
It's kind of disappeared. A little bit.
It happened.
Yeah.
So, we should get passes for Nerds on the Rocks.
That would involve me doing work.
Yeah, and the payoff wouldn't be worth it at all.
Be able to.
But I did. Is it true? It's like 400 or something bucks for a general person to get into E3 nowadays.
I don't know. Media passes are free, so
I don't think general public can get in.
Yeah, they say that, and then everybody finds a way to get
there,
in.
There are passes that you can buy. They're not general admission, but there's a way to buy your way in if you're really desperate. I know. I don't
like
know.
Donate or something.
Something like that.
Donate your firstborn to some witch god.
Saves me from having to take care of it.
Wait, what? Did you just threaten your firstborn?
No, I just said
to go to E3. Come on, why not?
Wow.
I'm just saying there. Thanks.
We're making sure you two don't have kids.
I'm making sure of that. Don't even worry.
Yeah, I'm not trying to end anytime soon. So.
Well, you never know. Things happen. But yeah, I guess we're going to talk about Ubisoft's Bui Babies. I think that would be a good place to end it at, serving your kids into servitude.
They're just going to find a way to vilify me for this, aren't they?
People are going to try to find a way to vilify you for selling your kid to go to E3. There's no way that can be taken against you at all.
So, believe me, people will try.
Anyhow, for Chad, who's apparently going to sell his firstborn into servitude, Daniel, Jason, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 22.
I'll feel the same.
Hey.
Goodbye, Internet.
I'm going to go to the next one.